Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I think if you receive the message in the Spirit, then this can be an extremely liberating message. Love has an enemy. Her name is desire. The enemy of love is desire. Now, we don't often think in these terms because we say to ourselves, what if I desire something good? Or what if my desire is towards that person? Or what if my desire is somehow benevolent? Or somehow, what's wrong with me desiring something? But really, the enemy of love is desire. In Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 6, the Word of God says, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree, now mind you, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." This is where it is. This is the enemy of love. This is why there was a separation. There was an appearance of the eyes and then a desire. Talking by sight will always produce the wrong effect in the heart of the believer. Sometimes when I walk by sight, it'll produce a desire. But you see, a desire is the enemy of love. And this is what was wrong with this desire. She had desire to be wise. It was not a godly desire. Why wasn't it a godly desire? Because it was a desire based on something other than that which came from God. It was a desire based on a natural thought and a horizontal plateau and a look and an evaluation and a thought, and they said, then a desire was born of it. There was something about that tree that appealed to Eve. I was thinking as I was getting this message ready, and sometimes I think this, I wonder after they were cast out of the garden, after the fall had taken place, if Eve and Adam ever said to themselves, why did we eat of the tree? Was there remorse? I can't imagine in the human being that there would not be, facing the consequences of the desire that was acted upon. Was there remorse? How often did they say, why did we do this? How often did they lament it? I can't imagine that they did not. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I am almost certain that they did. They wouldn't be human otherwise. There was a desire, and it led to something. Problem was, it was not a desire from God, so it led to a separation from Him. Now, what is love in the biblical sense? In other words, what is love in truth? Well, one thing that love does not possess, and this is going to be contrary to the world's way of doing things, and perhaps even to us as we are Christians, the way that we have learned that we ought to do things. Love does not possess desire. How do I know that? Because love is unconditional and unmerited. There is no condition in the love of God. There is no desire in the love of God. There are no conditions placed on the love of God. There is no earning it. There is no desire in it. You see, desire by its very nature is a condition. And to set a condition means to set yourself apart from love. And so what Eve had was a condition she desired. There was something she wanted apart from God. And when she wanted that thing apart from God, it led to her ultimate separation. That is something she never got back until after the resurrection. Because even in their death, before the resurrection of Christ, people were in paradise, but they were not in heaven with God. And only now, after the resurrection, are they in heaven with God. So she was separated for 4,000 years as a result of desire rather than love. Desire will separate me from God every single time. Let's take a look at this. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired. The word desire there is kalmad, and it means to take pleasure in, to desire, to lust, to covet, to be desirable, and to desire passionately. So now you have not only a coveting and a lust, but you have an emotion that's being attached to this. And so it starts to take over her soul because there is a desire, and it snags her soul in her emotions. And when that happens, you rationalize why you have the desire. People get desire apart from God and have to rationalize the desire so they can give themselves an excuse, a rationalization to pursue the desire, when the desire is not of God and it is the very thing that will separate them from God. Desire is the killer of relationships. One of the reasons why there are so many problems, I believe, in marriages, because young people have desire rather than love. And very often when they think they're in love, they are in chemicals because of their hormones. So they say to themselves something like, I'm in love with this person, they make me feel like this. I have news for you. None of that is even remotely related to what love is. What you are is in desire. And it's a desire apart from God when that happens. People have that desire towards other things. Money. Like look at the news lately. The desire for money, how it utterly destroys people's lives. And other people's lives as well. They feel like there is something about their life, their soul, that will be satisfied by having that money. And so they are willing to destroy to meet an emotional need born of a desire. Love has a father. His name is the Holy Spirit. Desire has a mother. Her name is pride. Desire has children. Do you know the name of desire's children? Fear, anger, wanting. These are desire's children. Together, the family makes iniquity. Love has children also. It's called fruit. Love does not desire. In 1 Corinthians 13, love does not desire. It seeks not its own. It doesn't envy and it doesn't seek its own. It has no desire. God has a desire towards us, but that is not the same as His love. It's born of His love, but it's not the same as His love. You see, we must be careful not to confuse love with desire, and more importantly, not to mix desire with love. The two cannot coexist. They might avoid each other for a season, but ultimately they are mutually exclusive. If I desire, then I will not love. If I love, then I cannot desire. Do you understand that? If I desire, I cannot love. If I love, I cannot desire. This is difficult for people's emotions sometimes because their emotions are cleaving to the dust. And because their emotions are cleaving to the dust, they seek to satisfy those emotions with dust. But it will not satisfy. You see, this is what Eve found out. It did not satisfy. It corrupted. It utterly destroyed and did not satisfy. Eve was not satisfied by what she had received. The desire that I think I long for will not satisfy me. It has no ability to, because my desire is of the dust, and the thing I long for, my desire cleaves to the dust. It is a part of my soul in the natural realm. And so desire destroys love. Be careful in your lives. Do not mix love with desire. You will destroy love. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now in Barnes has an interesting thought on this, and I thought it was fascinating. This chapter, he says, continues the peace commenced at Genesis 2:4, which reads, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord Yahweh," that's the original word, Yahweh, "God Elohim, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." And Barnes continues, "The same combination of divine names is found here, except in the dialogue between the serpent and the woman, where God, Elohim, alone is used. It is natural for the tempter to use only the more distinct and abstract name of God. It narrates in simple terms the fall of man." The enemy tries to make God abstract to us. And so even when he addresses him, or when he addresses about him, he makes him abstract. But this is precisely what desire does to the soul. It makes God abstract and distant. And it separates us from God himself. Because it is a desire, it is a lust in my heart, it is a craving. What is lust? Any desire apart from the will of God is lust. Get this. Lust has no ability to satisfy the soul, but it does have the ability to destroy it. It is a dangerous thing. This is why Paul wrote, "Flee youthful lust." Flee them. Don't embrace them. Don't entertain them. Don't play with them. But flee them. Run like crazy is the idea. Why? Because they can destroy your soul. They won't build it. They'll destroy it. "Oh, but this is what I want." Yes, your soul is cleaving to the dust, but you are choosing that. You are wanting that which does not edify, which does not build. You are wanting that which is destruction. You are wanting that which will be your end. I've seen many people, young and old, who have desired, pursued, and then died in the practical sense to God. Do you understand? Desire is not your friend, nor the thing that is desired per se. The thing in and of itself may or may not be right. It depends if it's from God or not. But a desire apart from God is never right. And it is destruction to our soul. My emotions will feel for a short season soothed by the acquisition of a desire. And they may be heightened because things like hormones and neural responses will kick in also. But once I have attained that desire, it separates me from God and does not bring me closer to Him. Do you understand this part, that only God can satisfy your soul? Listen, only God can satisfy your soul. A desire apart from God will ruin your soul. It will destroy your emotions and it will destroy your capacity for truth. Beware of desire. It is your enemy and it will separate you from love. Guarantee it every time. I have known one believer after another, young and old, pursued desire, lost God. They are mutually exclusive. Love and desire. They do not coexist. This is why anger comes. Anger is given birth by desire. Fear is given birth by desire. I want something and I'm fearful because I may not get it. I'm on my horizontal plateau and my natural evaluation, and maybe it's an evaluation equal to the desire itself because it's all natural. And I see, maybe I won't get it. And now I'm beginning to fear. Do you know what? Thank God you won't get it. Thank God you won't get it. Your natural desire in the natural realm for the things apart from God are your very destruction. They were not brought to you by God. They were brought to you as a decoy by the enemy for your life, to be a decoy for the things of God. Oh, but it's a beautiful tree. Do you know what the tree of knowledge was a decoy to? The tree of knowledge was a decoy to the tree of life. Beware of that desire. It is your enemy. And it was brought by your enemy. And because our soul as people cleaves to the dust, we long for it. But we in truth long for our own destruction. We long for our enemy. Oh, don't go there. Don't go there. Absolutely do not go there. It is not the love of God. It is not the love of God. It cannot satisfy, it cannot fulfill, it cannot give you the things that the love of God can give you. Don't go there. It is your enemy. Understand that. Desire is your enemy. How do I know that? Because God fulfills all my needs. Isn't that what the Bible says? God fulfills all my needs. In Proverbs 18:1, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Through desire, tahva, desire or delight or bounty, craving and greed. Have you ever met someone who's craving and greedy after something or someone? It is a type of a greed. I think young people, I don't know why it's so much on my heart, young people in this message. But it's the Holy Spirit is bringing it in. Young people. Young people crave people. Young men crave. They are greedy after a young woman. Young women are greedy after a young man. They crave them. And it is a desire that destroys. People crave money and security and recognition. And it is a desire that destroys. They crave acceptance apart from God. And it is a desire, it's a craving that destroys and that leaves them empty and hopeless and helpless. They cannot love and they cannot find love and they have destroyed their capacity for love in the desire. Desire destroys your capacity for the love of God. Do you understand that? Desire destroys your capacity for the love of God. Watch out for desire. through desire a man having separated, parad, to divide, to separate, to disperse, to be separated, to be scattered. And here it means to be split in two or more parts or pieces. The soul is separated through desire. The mind, because it has content from the Word of God, says one thing. The emotions, because they cleave to the dust and they lust, say something entirely different. And I become a double-minded man. Because one part of my soul wants one thing, and another part of my soul wants something else. And my soul becomes divided. There is a schism in my mentality. And now I am very unstable. Now at the same time I say I love God, but I fight the things of God. This is the result of desire. Be careful for your desires. They will destroy your life with God if they are not directly from Him. Beware of those things. The desire of your flesh is your enemy. It is not your friend. And Satan will energize that desire to draw you away, to produce a decoy. It is not your friend. It is not your friend. It is your enemy. It is not your friend. How many people play with desire? Oh, the fire is a little bit, feels nice, doesn't it? Look, it's pretty. I like my desire. It's pretty. It makes me feel good, my desire. And then it consumes you. You see, Satan is not stupid. He will make it feel good, and he will make it look good to the emotions, the non-thinking emotions, the emotions that are cleaving to dust. And he will make it look good until he has the opportunity to destroy your life, because he's gotten a hook on you. Beware of desire. A man having split into two or more parts, himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Intermeddleth is the word yela, and it means to expose, burst forth, meddle with, or to be obstinate. He is stubbornly resistant. And in this context here, it specifically means that it expresses a quarreling and a being obstinate by insisting on having one's own way. Here it indicates separating oneself from others to seek one's own wishes. I separate myself from God and the things of God to seek my desire. And what do I separate myself from? Well, Proverbs here says, I separate myself from all wisdom. I separate myself from wisdom. The word wisdom is tushio, and it's sound wisdom and continuing success, is what that word means. So in my double-minded state, because I become very stubborn in my emotions, because I have an idol, and by the way, that's what a lust is when I start to pursue it. It becomes an idol. Demons charge idols. In that state, I flee wisdom. I separate myself from it. And I flee fruit. And I flee the things that produce health in my soul. And I then I have the fruit of those actions, those longings. Then I have the children of desire, anger, and fear, and wanting. Beware of desire. It is not love. It is the enemy of love. Do you understand this? Pay attention to it carefully. Desire is the enemy of love. I say this because every human needs this. Desire is the enemy of love. it is. It separated Adam and Eve from the love of God. And it will separate me also if I pursue it. And it will separate you if you pursue it. Desire is the enemy of love. How many broken hearts are there? Because desire was mistaken for love. And what came in was hatred. In its place, it was a decoy. Desire is Satan's decoy for the love of God. Desire is Satan's decoy for the love of God. In James 1:8, a double-minded man then becomes unstable in all his ways. And I am constantly battling between God and desire, between love and the children of desire. A double-minded man becomes very unstable, very emotionally challenged, very moody. Things go well, they're happy. Things don't go well, they're upset. As though things had any influence on happiness whatsoever. But the problem was desire entered in, and it destroyed their soul. In Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. In other words, when I get my desire, my emotions like it. But look at the contrast. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Desire leads me to evil, but because it is sweet to the soul, departing from evil is an abomination to me, because I want my desire. Do you understand? Be careful of desire. In Isaiah 59:4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And that's the result of desire. They trust in vanity. They trust in something that is entirely empty. And they leave behind justice and truth. They leave behind the things of God. And instead, they live in a lie. Their lifestyle, where it's talking about conversation or speaking in the Old Testament, it is referring to lifestyles. Their lifestyle is a lie. And they are lying to themselves because they have a desire. They have an idol now. And so they lie to themselves so they can have their idol and pursue and stroke their idol. How many people stroke idols because the emotions respond and they get a little bit of an emotional high apart from God? It's not wisdom, it's evil. Be careful of that. This is the human condition. This is the fallen man. I long for what I long for. I don't care if it's right or wrong. It's just what I want. This is why the world is the way it is. This is why relationships end up so often the way they do. This is why there is, 70-80% divorce rate or some crazy number like that, I don't know, in the world. This is why they don't even get married in the world anymore. There is desire. And they want what they want because their emotions long and there's a little emotional high and they are a little bit intoxicated and they are not thinking with God. They are thinking in the intoxication of an emotion that will destroy their soul. Watch out for desire. It's not your friend, it's your enemy. And it's a destructive enemy. It will brutalize the unsuspecting life. Oh, for the time it seems like it's magic. Yeah, for the time the fruit seemed like it would make one wise, and it was desirable. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was nice. It was nice. The perception liked it. Oh, how many times did they say, I wish I hadn't eaten? I'm sure it was countless. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it had to be. They were human. I'm sure it was countless. But there is a different side, another side. There is something better than desire. Much better. Proverbs 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And want there is kausar, and it's to be lacking or to be needy, to decrease. And the Lord is my shepherd, I am not lacking and I am not needy. I don't feel a need in my soul, because God is satisfying the need of my soul. God's provision is satisfying the need of my soul. My emotions, right? My emotions are happier. They are content and they are fulfilled. Because the Lord is my shepherd. My desire is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And only then will I not want. There is only one condition for not wanting in the Bible. And that is to have the Lord as my shepherd. Anything else, and there will be want. There will be lacking and neediness and desire. But when the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. In general, it all refers to a failure of something to be fully complete, whole, or sufficient. How many believers do not feel like God is sufficient in their lives? Do you know why? Because God is actually not in their lives sufficiently. I do not have sufficiency in God because I have not come to God sufficiently. He is not entirely the shepherd. There's a little bit of me that still has desire. There's a little bit of me that still tries to call the shots. There's a little bit of me that says, I can do it this way. I'll do it secretly so nobody knows, because in my heart I know it is wrong. But there's a little bit of me that plays this suicidal game. And I'm left wanting. And it is painful to me. And it will, you know what? It will become increasingly painful. Because you have gone after the wrong thing. You have gone in the wrong place. You have gone down the path of destruction. But when the Lord is my shepherd, I have no want. I have no desire because I have no need. He provides that need. He is sufficient in my life and is sufficiently abounding in my life. And His provisions are sufficient. And His grace is sufficient. And His love is sufficient. Because I'm receiving something that is greater than an ocean's full of whatever it is that I'm receiving. In this case, you know what it is like? A desire is like a drop. But it's a drop of poison. But the love of God is an ocean in which I can rest and bathe. And I can swim in it. I am refreshed in it. A drop of poison on the tongue can kill you. But the love of God can carry you and make you clean. The love of God satisfies. You see, desire removes me from the love of God. But it's the love of God that satisfies. Do you know what that means? That means desire actually removes me from satisfaction. I cannot be satisfied so long as I have desire. And so the person, because they have become intoxicated and unthinking, starts to pursue the desire, and they are less satisfied than when they started. And so they pursue it some more, because the idol, the little demon that's attached, says, oh, this will satisfy. It's a tree that is good. And it's pleasant to the eyes, and it's good for making you wise. It's good for food. And I live in a lie that it doesn't satisfy. It increases the longing and the emptiness. It increases the heartache. It increases the loneliness. It increases these things. It is desire. The love of God satisfies. The love of God fulfills the soul. But I don't feel fulfilled. Maybe you haven't drawn near to God. Maybe there was a point where you stopped drawing near. Maybe you said, I will go this far and then I will do it my way. Love has a Father. It's the Holy Spirit. But love has an expression. It's the cross. The cross doesn't bring death. The cross brings life. How often does Satan tell you that the cross brings your death? It does not. It brings your life. Isn't that what the Savior told us? That if a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, if that does not happen, that corn of wheat will abide alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Didn't the Savior tell us that he that tries to preserve his life will lose it? And he that loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it, will find it? Love has an expression. The expression is the cross. You see, desire is the opposite of the cross. And this is why it can never satisfy, and this is why it leads me into death. How many star-crossed lovers kill themselves? For what? For an emotion. Something that is fleeting. Something that is empty and vain. And it cannot, in its best estate, it is the opposite of satisfaction. It is longing and desire. Yet people think it's a good thing because they live in iniquity. They live on the basis of their emotions, and in their emotions they make their decisions. But iniquity is the throne of evil. Do you realize that iniquity is the throne of evil and desire is the motive behind iniquity? It's the mother of iniquity. The love of God. The love of God satisfies. That which casts out desire satisfies. There is no desire in the love of God, by definition. If there is desire in it, it is not God's love. Is it wrong then for me to desire? If it is not from God, then yes it is. It is wrong to desire that which is not of God. That's my destruction. Be careful. Don't use rationalization because of an empty soul and an emotional response to bring you away from God. That's a dangerous place to be. I cannot love if I desire. If I love, I won't desire. They are mutually exclusive. Matthew 10:21. Then Jesus, beholding him, this is the rich young man, said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He said, I fulfill all the law. He said, you lack one thing. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. What was the problem that this rich young man had? He had desire. He had desire. And so when the Lord brought His love, he was kept from God by desire. The same thing happens to us. When God brings His love, we are kept from God's love by desire. Desire will destroy your capacity for the love of God. desire will destroy your capacity for the love of God. There is nothing sweeter and nothing more fulfilling and nothing richer and nothing more satisfying than the love of God. Get to know the love of God and then you won't have a desire. Get to know your desire and you won't have the love of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, in the A part of verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. The word gifts there is not in the original. It says, follow after the love of God and desire that which is spiritual. That's what it's saying. Follow after the love of God and desire that which is spiritual. In Isaiah 53 and verse 2, for he shall grow up before him. This is talking about the Savior. Listen to this. Because he's the same way today. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. We cannot approach God with the natural thought. We cannot approach God out of desire. But we approach God when He loves us and we receive His love. Then we approach God. It's not out of desire, it's out of love. If it is out of desire, then I will not desire Him. Because there is nothing naturally appealing to Him. But there is something that is more appealing than the earth itself in Him. But it is not of the earth, it is of heaven. It is of the Father. It is of love. It is of truth. It is of mercy. It is of compassion. It is of that which is real and genuine and clean and holy and righteous. Desire is the corrupter. Desire is the corrupter. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. By mercy and truth, and mercy precedes grace. By mercy and truth is iniquity purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Why do men depart from evil by the fear of the Lord? Because they are afraid to enter into evil. This, I believe, is a part of the times that we live in. There is no fear of God. And so men enter into evil. They enter and follow their emotional lust patterns. Their desire. They follow their desire. Because when they follow their desire, they can only do that because they don't fear God. You know, wisdom starts when I'm a little bit afraid of God. Why? Because then I will be too afraid to do that which He says do not do. I will be afraid to go against His way. Learn to fear the Lord. It is not in this generation. You guys see it every single day. The fear of God is not in this generation. There is a mocking and a ridicule of God. There is no fear of God. There is a pursuit of lust and of pleasure. That their lives are being consumed and destroyed. Their capacity for the love of God is being utterly shattered. Desire will shatter your capacity for the love of God. Desire will shatter your capacity for the love of God. Do you understand that? Desire will shatter your capacity for the love of God. Be careful of desire that is not from the Lord. In Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And walk in love as Christ has also offered Himself for us. What does that mean? I don't live in desire. I live at the cross. The cross is more fulfilling than desire. understand something. I think the world does not get what the cross is. The Christian world. The cross is the love of God expressed and then received by you as it transforms you through His Word into the fullness of who He is. Do you understand that? The cross is your life. It's your joy. It's your happiness. The cross is the place where you have fulfillment. The cross is where you find love. It's at the cross. It's not in your desire. It's at the cross. Love as Christ loved. He loved at the cross. In Philippians 4:11, not that I speak, I don't have a lifestyle, I don't have thoughts in respect of want, of neediness, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Why did he learn that? Because he learned the love of God. And he had the love of God, therefore there was no room for desire and want. He had the love of God. What do I want? What do I need when I have the love of God? I mean, think about it. It's the love of God. Do you get who we're talking about even? The love of God. Not the love of a person. Not the love of a man or a woman. It's the love of God. Not the love of some schoolgirl or schoolboy. It's the love of God. Not the love of some money. Not the love of something. It's the love of God. It's the love of God you're talking about. Drop your desire and run to the Savior. There is unbelievable quantity of love in the Savior. There is unbelievable quantity of pain and destruction in your desire. It is the opposite. It is the opposite. I cannot love if I desire. If I desire, I cannot love. But if I have love, there will be no desire. It is greater than desire. Desire doesn't even begin to touch it. Desire is its enemy. Desire is the enemy of the love of God. It took Eve away from God. It took Adam away from God. It took everybody away that left God. It took them away from God. And if we live in desire, it will take us away from God. But the love of God will draw us to Him. The love of God will give us a life that is far richer than I can even begin to imagine in Ephesians 3:20. The richness and the wealth and the beauty and the satisfaction and the fullness and the pure and holy love of God, unadulterated, uncorrupted by anything so petty and small as a desire. It is in the love of God. People are so dissatisfied. Dissatisfaction is the result of desire. But satisfaction is a result of the love of God in my life. Do you understand? Are you dissatisfied? There is a lack of the love of God. Are you satisfied? There is an abundance and a lack of desire. An abundance of His love and a lack of desire for something other than that. That is agape love. A love that is not based on what another or can do for me or the way another is. It is a love that has no conditions and has no merit. It is based entirely on the lover of the soul. It is without desire. That's why it is love. Desire is the enemy of love. Watch out for desire. I don't need to worry when I have the love of God. I don't need to... How many... You know, young people in particular, I think, are so afraid they're going to end up in their life lonely. You know what? That's stupid. Do you think God would do that to you? You're not going to end up in your life lonely. Not with God, you're not. In your desire, yes, you will. In a life with God, no, you will not. No, you will not. You will not end up with... If you draw near... What did He say? Draw nigh unto Me and I will draw nigh unto you. How can you be lonely? Draw nigh unto Me and I'll draw nigh unto you. How can you be lonely? What is there to be lonely about when you're in the presence and the company and the fellowship and the communion of God? There is no loneliness there. Draw nigh unto Me and I'll draw nigh unto you. And then in Philippians 4:19, what do I receive? But My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that neediness that I had is fulfilled by God as I draw nigh unto Him. And not only is it is fulfilled with all the abundance of God's glory in eternity through Christ, through the Savior Himself. And this is where you find your satisfaction. It's in Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? Hello, let's face reality here. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but Thee. Let's face reality. People want to get out of reality because there is a problem in their emotions where instead of dealing God's way so their emotions will be healed, they try to look away from their emotions by living in a fantasy. Well, your fantasy is going to burst and it will leave you empty. Get out of the fantasy, get into reality, draw near to God and He will fulfill you like you never could even imagine was possible. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. The children of desire. There is no fear in love. There is no fear. There is no fruit of desire in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because love is the enemy of desire and it casts out her children. The love of God doesn't fool around. It doesn't play games. People play games. The love of God does not play games. God died on the cross. He's not playing games. Excuse me, do you understand this? Christ died on the cross. He's not playing games. Don't play games with Him. He won't play them with you. If I as a believer play games, I'm playing alone. Don't play games with Him. In Psalm 10, verse 17, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou hast heard the desire. There is a desire that is from God. It comes to the humble man. It comes to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. He will impart a desire to you that is after His heart. When you humble yourself and delight yourself before the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Make Him your joy and your pleasure. Make Him the thing that you long for. Make Him your hope and your expectation. Make Him the satisfaction of your heart and of your emotions because He will satisfy. Money will not satisfy. Recognition, acceptance will not satisfy. A guy or a girl will not satisfy. But the Lord will satisfy. Make Him your delight. Do you know what happens in relationships where you have families, marriages, children? Desire comes in and it hurts love. Because there was desire, love was stifled. Because desire is the opposite of love. How do I love then? Where do I get that in me? You don't get it in you. It takes some humility. You have to acknowledge before God that yes, even you in your unworthy little state are worthy of the love of God because He has made you worthy of the love of God. You are the beloved of God. And therefore, you are more than worthy of God. He has made you worthy of His love. He has made you, He has created you, He has known you from the beginning. He has had a plan for your life. He has control over everything in your life. You know what? He has made you worthy. Receive the love. Don't be proud toward His love. Don't be proud to the cross. Don't be proud toward what He did on the cross. Receive that love that is for you. Believe it. Start believing that God loves you, and you're going to finally reach the point of a reality that you can live in. Most people try to tell themselves, I'm not worthy of the love of God. How many people say that? So many do. I'm not worthy of the love of God. Baloney! That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy of the love of God. He made you worthy. He died for you. What do you mean you're not worthy? Don't call God a liar. Of course you're worthy of the love of God. He loves you. He died for you. How much more evidence is there than that? No greater love hath a man than to lay down his life. And he had the greatest love. The love of God is pure. Desire corrupts the heart, but the love of God is pure. 2 Peter 1:4. Do you realize what God has given you? Do you realize what God has given you? I'm not talking about your house, your health, your dog. No. He's given you everything. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. And He told you before the world began that it would be yours. That's why the work is finished. That's what it means in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through desire. The finished work, love of God, is greater than my desire. Corruption comes through desire. But purity and holiness and righteousness and truth and beauty and all those things which are pleasurable to the soul because they can satisfy, they come through the finished work, love of the Savior. They don't come through a desire. They come through the love of the Savior. As He said, all things I have given you in exceeding great and precious promises. All things are God's. And God gave all things to Christ, and Christ gives all things to us. It's the love of God. Do you realize what you have to weigh in front of you? It's the love of God. It's nothing less than the love of God. If I have the love of God, I have no desire. If I have desire, I have no love of God. What do I do if I have no love of God? How many people are there? What do I do if I have no love of God? I draw near to Him and I let Him love me. And I meditate on those portions of the Scriptures that give me His love promises. The promises that He loves me, that He'll never leave me, that He'll be faithful to me. The promises that say I'm precious in His eyes. The promises that He says, where He says He loves me with an everlasting love. That's what I do. And I meditate on them. And I masticate them and meditate on them. And I indulge them and I internalize them. And then I learn to believe them. Until they become a part of me. Until they are the way I think. Oh, desire is small and petty and empty and vain. But the love of God is holy and pure and majestic and satisfies the soul. Satisfies the emotions and the mind and the conscience and the self-image and how I know myself. It is only in the love of God. It is not in desire. It is only in the love of God. Don't forsake like Eve did, and then Adam after her, because of desire. Don't forsake the love of God. They are mutually exclusive. They are enemies. they are enemies. You cannot have both. People think they can have their cake and eat it too, but you know what? It's not the same cake. You can't have desire and love. You will have desire apart from love, or love apart from desire. You will not have both. It's really a simple choice. I set before you this day life and death. Therefore choose life. In case you weren't sure, choose life. I'll give you the answer. As God says in paraphrase, I set before you desire and love. Choose love. Don't choose desire. Choose the love of God. It's a simple answer. It's a simple choice. But how many believers find it so difficult to make? Because they think that desire will satisfy. That's a deception. Satan is very good at making the deception pleasing to the emotions, even when the mind knows it is not correct. That's where the iniquity is. This is why iniquity is a mystery. But the love of God casts all that away, and it gives you that which you were looking for. The fullness and the satisfaction of all God is in your life. Amen.